Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose love and whose power is always there to defend us, protect us, and provide for us. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the things that I treasure about the Bible is that the Bible is filled with real people. People that you and I can easily relate to. No matter where we are in our walk with our Lord, no matter what situation we might find ourselves in our life, we can turn to the pages of Scripture and find someone who is just like us. Sometimes our faith is strong and bold, and we confidently confess along with the Apostle Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then there are times when we echo the sentiment of the man whose son was possessed by a demon, the man who said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Sometimes we are like great King David, who danced for joy as he brought the Ark of the Lord into the beloved city of Jerusalem. And then sometimes, like Peter, we realize that we have denied our Lord and Savior, and we weep bitterly. And then, my friends, then there are the days when we are like the blind man here in our text for today. The days when we want Jesus to do something for us. The days when we need Jesus to do something for us. Today, as we study this very personal portion of God's holy word, let's use it to address a very personal question. That question is, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Well, our text for today is very simple, very straightforward, and very easy to understand. There are 3 points that I want to highlight from this text so that we can use them to apply these inspired words to our own hearts and to our own lives. The first point that I want to highlight from this text centers on the faith of Bartimaeus. As Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging, it became obvious to this blind man that something was going on. There was something unusual going on, something that was out of the place. He could hear it with his ears. Mark then tells us, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The simple fact that Bartimaeus referred to Jesus as the Son of David reveals to us that Bartimaeus believed that Jesus is the long-awaited promised Messiah. But how? How did Bartimaeus come to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of David, as this world's only Savior from sin? Our text for today does not address that question correctly, but to me, there are only 2 possibilities. The first possibility centers on the fact that Bartimaeus knew his Bible well. Bartimaeus knew that through faithful servants such as the prophet Isaiah, the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had revealed to his people what the Messiah would do when he came into this world. That is one of the things that we need to remember. Then, do you remember when John the Baptist sent 2 of his disciples to Jesus to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" How did Jesus respond? He pointed to the miracles that he was doing. He pointed to the message that he was proclaiming. And he put them in the light of the messianic prophecies recorded in the book of Isaiah. Jesus said, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind will receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor." Through the power of God the Holy Spirit, Bartimaeus trusted in the promises that the Lord his God had given to his people on the pages of his holy word. Secondly, Bartimaeus had undoubtedly heard about the wonderful, glorious miracles that this Jesus of Nazareth had been performing. How many times don't we read on the pages of the gospel accounts words such as this? This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, working in his heart through the written revealed word of God, Bartimaeus believed and trusted that the Lord would fulfill his promise and send a Savior into this world. Through the actions and the words of Jesus of Nazareth, Bartimaeus believed that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. And so, yes, my friends, Bartimaeus' heart was filled with that gift of saving faith, the faith that enabled this blind man to see that Jesus is indeed the Son of David, this world's only Savior from sin. The second point that I want to highlight from this text focuses on the obstacles that Bartimaeus faced in his life of faith. The first obstacle came in the form of people. Mark tells us that as soon as Bartimaeus started crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," that many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Why, my friends? Why did the crowd rebuke Bartimaeus and tell him to be quiet? Were they annoyed at his cries for mercy? Did they think that this poor blind beggar was not worthy enough to have someone as great and someone as powerful as Jesus of Nazareth pay him any attention whatsoever? While we are not told why the crowd told Bartimaeus to be quiet, we are told that even while he was being rebuked, even while he was being told to be quiet, the faith of Bartimaeus led him to shout all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The second obstacle that Bartimaeus faced might seem to be rather insignificant, but I hope that it will become very clear to you why we're drawing attention to this obstacle when we get to the point where we apply these words of our God to our own hearts and to our own lives. After Jesus told the crowd, "Call him," God the Holy Spirit led Mark to write these words. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Why did Bartimaeus throw his cloak aside? This may have been the most important possession that this blind man owed. I can't help but think that Bartimaeus was so excited to hear that Jesus would at least listen to what he had to say, that he didn't want anything to get in his way. He wanted to get to Jesus as fast as the parting crowd and the guiding hands allowed. The third point that I want to highlight from this text centers on the love and the power of Jesus. Even though the crowd was rebuking Bartimaeus and telling him to be quiet, Jesus' love for this man not only led him to say to the crowd, "Call him," but Jesus' love for this man also led him to say to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And when Bartimaeus humbly said, "Rabbi, I want to see," Jesus' love and Jesus' power led him to say to Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has healed you." Mark then ends this very simple account by very simply saying, "Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." Now how, my friends? How do these three points help us to apply this very simple, this very straightforward, this very easy to understand portion of God's holy word to our sometimes complicated life? Let's strive to answer that question by going back to those three points and looking at them once again this time in the light of another question. What do you want Jesus to do for you? It all begins with faith, doesn't it? We know, we believe deep down in our hearts that no matter what situation you or I are facing in our everyday lives, we too can cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And why, my friends? Why can we join Bartimaeus in speaking those words? Because through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we believe. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe that Jesus of Nazareth is both our God and our Savior. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe in the promises that the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has recorded for us right here on the pages of His Holy Word. Promises such as, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And so, yes, my friends, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts through His holy word and through His holy sacraments, we have been given the same gift of saving faith that lived in the heart of Bartimaeus so many years ago. But like Bartimaeus, our faith also faces obstacles, doesn't it? Sometimes those obstacles come in the form of the people around us. There may be a family member who does not share our faith in Jesus, and they openly disagree with the priority that we give in growing in our relationship with our Lord through regular worship, Bible study, and prayer. There may be a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of David, this world's only Savior from sin. As a result of that unbelief, they may tell us that we are being naive, or out of tradition, too traditional, old-fashioned is the word I'm trying to think of, that we might be naive or old-fashioned to actually believe that we can turn to Jesus and expect Him to help us. There may even be a brother or sister in the faith who, for whatever reason, might think that we are not worthy enough to go to Jesus and ask Him for anything. That, my friends, that is when we need to follow the example of Bartimaeus here in our text and shout all the more. Then there are the cloaks that we might be wearing in our lives, cloaks that hinder us from turning to Jesus in prayer for help. Stop and examine your own heart and your own life. Is the cloak of pride, or the cloak of pet sins, or the cloak of material possessions preventing you from going to Jesus in prayer? Is the cloak of apathy, or the cloak of doubt, or the cloak of denial, or the cloak of despair getting in the way of you going to Jesus in prayer? If so, my friends, then we need to throw that cloak aside as far and as fast as we can. With the God-given gift of saving faith in our hearts, and by ignoring or getting rid of the obstacles that we have in our life as a child of God, we can indeed humbly turn to the Lord in prayer and hear Jesus say to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" So, my friends, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Each and every single one of us can answer that question in a variety of legitimate ways, depending on what we are facing in our own personal lives. This morning, however, I would encourage you to answer that question the same way that Bartimaeus did here in our text for today. Turn to your Savior in prayer and say, "Rabbi, I want to see." Right about now, some of you might be thinking to yourself, "What does he mean? I can already see." While that is indeed true on a physical level, that might not always be true on a spiritual level. Think about it, my friends. When you look at your spouse or your siblings, your children or your grandchildren, are you always able to see how you can best serve them? Serve them with the same humble, sacrificing love that led your Savior to serve you? When you look at your family or your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers who do not believe that Jesus is this world's only Savior from sin, are you always able to see the best way and the best opportunities to share the message of the cross of Jesus Christ with them? When you look at the people in your community, are you always able to see them as precious souls? Souls that your Lord and Savior loves so very much that he was willing to suffer and die to save them from their sins too. When you look at your brothers and sisters here in our congregation, are you always able to see them as important members of your spiritual family, people with whom you will spend eternity in your heavenly Father's home? When you are reading and studying God's Word, both at home as well as here at church, are you always able to see the truth that God the Holy Spirit wants you to learn from His Holy Word? Do you see what I mean, my friends? There is always a reason for us to follow the example of Bartimaeus here in our text and turn to our Lord in prayer and say, "Rabbi, I want to see." Praise God, my friends. Praise God that whenever we turn to Jesus and ask him to help us see, whenever we turn to Jesus and ask him for anything, we know. We can trust in the fact that the same love and the same power that Jesus showed to Bartimaeus here in our text, he will also show to us. In other words, whenever we turn to Jesus and ask him for help, he will never, ever send us away. What do you treasure about the Bible, my friends? Yes, we treasure the fact that the Bible is the holy, inspired, and errant word of the one and only living God. Yes, we treasure the fact that the Bible alone reveals to us and proclaims to us that we are saved purely by grace through faith in what the Son of God has done for us. My prayer then this morning is that you will also treasure the Bible because the Bible is filled with real people. People that you and I can easily relate to, no matter what stage of life we are in, and no matter what we encounter on our journey through this world. For then, my friends, then you will not only be able to follow the example of Bartimaeus here in our text and cry out to your Lord, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," but you will also be able to hear your powerful Savior lovingly say to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.